The fire kept on chewing up the edges of the arroyo, and Ryan saw that the Indians had disappeared from the rims.
They're gone! Stop! You're just wasting ammunition!
Hellstrom swung his head, spearing Ryan with an icy glare. The two men locked gazes.
Ceasefire! Keep a sharp lookout, George.
It's my ammunition to waste, isn't it, Cawdor?
And it's our hair to lose. It's an old trick of the Sioux to keep an enemy hosing their ammo around, shooting at shadows until all the blasters are drained. That's when they mount an attack.
Ah, I see. Have no fear, Cawdor. We have enough ammunition here to wipe out the entire tribe, not just Touch the Skies group. And thank you, Christy, for your perceptions. I understand now how Cawdor has kept his life when so many have wanted to take it.
So you are acquainted with that particular band of Sioux?
Touch the Sky is a traditionalist. He thinks that the Newcost ceded the old Indian lands back to him and his people through divine intervention. He regularly patrols this area, killing any non-redskins who might cross into it. He's a vicious psychopath, completely unreasonable.
Why does he hold this area in such high esteem?
The AMAC climbed up a slope and out of the arroyo. As it topped the crest, Hellstrom gestured toward the windshield.
That's why.
The mountain filled the rectangular window, framed like a work of art. Though it was still miles in the distance, Ryan saw that what he had first interpreted as an optical illusion combined with erosion was indeed a group of carved faces on the mountainside, or what was left of them.
Dark night. The nose. I get it now.
By the three Kennedys?
No, Doc. Roosevelt, Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln, where they used to be.
Ryan surveyed the granite cliff looming above heaps of broken shale and scrubby trees and dredged up a memory from his childhood education.
Mount Rushmore.
All four of the 60-foot-high heads of the pre-dark presidents had been nearly obliterated, except for the colossal Abraham Lincoln effigy, and it was hardly intact. The top of Lincoln's head had been blown away, and one of his huge eyes was jigsawed by a network of cracks. The sight disturbed Ryan, as though he were looking at some symbolic image from years gone by, the leader of a nation with no mind, half blind like himself.
It took 15 years of preparation and over 6 years of actual work to design and construct that memorial. 21 years. And it was destroyed in probably 5 seconds. My Uncle Josh brought me here once as part of a church tour group. I was about 8, over 100 years ago.
A hand flew to Mildred's mouth as she realized what had slipped out. JB put an arm around her shoulders, and Hellstrom turned toward them. His lips quirked in distaste at the display of open affection and sympathy, but he didn't comment on it.
What do you mean, woman? And tell the truth. I'll sense a lie.
I was in cryogenic stasis during the Newcost. Ryan and the others found me.
You're a freezy.
So?
So, it appears that my first assessment of your little band was far more correct than I initially surmised. You can be a great help in my undertaking.
You've mentioned that before. Maybe it's time for you to explain.
Perhaps I will. After a demonstration.
The man at the wheel steered the AMAC toward a series of gentle grass-covered bluffs. He navigated the big wag expertly over the top of one, then followed a winding course between two of them. He braked the vehicle at the foot of a slope that was only 10 feet high, more of a dirt dune than a hill. From a box attached to the wall, Fleur removed a hollow-bored Very pistol and a flare cartridge. The cartridge was color-coded yellow. Hellstrom gestured to the sec man in the shotgun seat, and the man arose, coming to stand beside Hellstrom.
Take his place, Cawdor. Man the periscope and watch everything that transpires with a close eye.
Lars Hellstrom stood in a smooth, lithe motion, not even bracing his hands against the arms of his chair. A pair of X-Guard men joined Fleur and the other sec man as Hellstrom unlatched the side door and pushed it open and out.
What about the Indians?
They never come this close. Some sort of tribal taboo. Or maybe they've got better things to do than get chilled.
Hellstrom and his group stepped out of the wag. Ryan pushed his way forward to the empty seat. He examined the periscope, noting that each of the hand grips bore two buttons. On the right-hand grip was a button marked with a plus sign, and another button with a minus sign. The left-hand grip buttons were inscribed with arrows, indicating directions. Ryan placed the upper portion of his face against the viewfinder and focused on the graven image of Lincoln. It was at least half a mile distant. He thumbed the plus button, and the great stone face swelled and enlarged until only the nose filled the viewer. The right side nasal passage looked different than its mate. It was a shadowed depression, like a hollowed-out tunnel. Ryan removed his eye from the viewfinder and saw that Hellstrom, accompanied by Fleur and the three Sectmen, had climbed to the top of the bluff. At a nod from Hellstrom, Fleur pointed the Very Pistol skyward. A flare hung there in the blue sky, shining with a brilliant glow. As it slowly descended on a miniature parachute, Hellstrom turned toward the wag.
Watch the nose, Cawdor!
Ryan pressed his face against the viewer again. Nothing happened for what seemed to be a long time.
I don't see anything.
The driver turned to Ryan.
Just keep watching.
Suddenly, there was a flicker of movement in the hollowed-out nostril. Sunlight briefly gleamed off metal, then a shape appeared, seeming to crawl out of the nasal passage. It paused in the open air, just above the sculpted upper lip, and Ryan stared at it so intently and unblinkingly that his eye began to sting. A mechanical device, barely 2 feet long, hovered in the concave depression of Lincoln's philtrum. Its body was made of interlocking metal segments, like the carapace of an insect. Extruder hooks and extensors studded its dully shining silver-gray skin. A photoreceptor shone red, like a cyclopean eye.
Mildred, come here.
When she reached him, Ryan pulled her onto his lap.
Take a look. Tell me what you think.
Mildred peered into the viewfinder.
Jesus.
Ever seen anything like it?
No.
Ever heard of anything like it?
Maybe. Some sort of servo mechanism. By the end of the 20th century, robotic units were being used for a lot of different functions, including surveillance. You can see what looks like the lens of a closed-circuit TV camera on it, but I've never heard of anything as sophisticated or advanced as that thing.
We call them Beatles.
What's the motive power of the Beatles?
The driver didn't respond.
Taking an educated guess, I'd say it probably utilizes local gravitational fields for propulsion. Extremely efficient.
That's for certain. Who would have built it?
Hard to say. As you know, there was a lot of black technology being developed by the government and military before the bombs fell. Ooh, it's moving!
Mildred got up, allowing Ryan to take over the periscope again. He adjusted the magnification and direction so he could focus on the beetle. The little device flew in a straight line for Hellstrom's position. Soon, the beetle came to an abrupt halt, hovering 20 feet away from the bluff and 12 above. A light glowed on the gadget's metal shell.
What do you want?
The harvest is requiring more time than I estimated. It'll be a few more days before we can make the delivery. I regret the deviance from the timetable.
Is that all?
We spotted a war party of Indians on our way here. Have they molested you?
Isn't it your responsibility to ensure that they don't? We've supplied you with the means to place yourself in a superior posture to them, and much more besides.
For which we are eternally grateful.
Then live up to your end of our trade agreement. Is there anything else?
No. I trust I've not disturbed you.
This communication is ended.
The beetle slid backward through the air, as though it were unwilling to turn its photoreceptor away from Hellstrom. After 100 yards, it rotated quickly, ascended, and sped back toward Mount Rushmore. Hellstrom, Fleur, and the Sectmen returned to the wag. Ryan went back to the passenger compartment. Hellstrom was smiling, but it didn't reach his eyes.
Pretty impressive, huh, kids?
Very.
What did you think, Cawdor?
I think I've never seen a finer demonstration of the art of ass-kissing in my life.
Watch it, Cawdor.
You're right, Cawdor. But if you knew the power behind that beetle, you'd want to weld your mouth to its ass, too.
Then why don't you tell us about it instead of making vague references?
In a little while.
The AMAC steered back in the direction from which it had come.
We'll never make it.